Kind of a trick question. You guys ready for the offertory prayer? Sorry. In 5 years of Here's Hope, I'm checking my heart here. I'm hoping this is not a boast. It might be. Maybe a boast in Him. We've never passed a plate. And Lord willing, we never will. Unless He smacks me upside the head, as Brother Mark says sometimes, unless the Lord smacks me upside the head, I'm just not going to do it. And I say that this morning for a couple reasons. One, God is just so faithful to provide, and we've just never needed to do that. And I think that's, I don't know why that's unusual, I don't know why that's rare, but I've talked to pastors from a lot of churches that are like, we can't survive if we don't pass the plate, we can barely survive if we do. And so it seems, I don't know, it's just such a neat thing that God's doing here that we don't ever have to do that. But kind of a flip side of that is because we don't do that, sometimes I just totally ignore the opportunity to worship the Lord with an offering. And so a couple of us have recently, I think, been moved by the Holy Spirit to bring that to my attention, because I've had a person or two who have said, you know, we really feel moved by God to give to Him through giving here, but we forget. So it would be nice if our pastor would remind us that we can give to worship. You know, that's part of our worship. And I thought, well, yeah, it would be nice if your pastor did that. And then also along with that, that we have new believers sometimes who have no idea that when we give, it's part of worship. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a financial thing. It's not a practical thing, really. I mean, it kind of is, but not really. It's more than that. And one of the blessings for me in my walk with Christ is I've seen in the past, my first church that I was really grafted into as a new believer, as far as the Holy Spirit just making the offertory time, because they did pass a plate, and that was one of the most beautiful, worshipful things of the whole service every week. And there was a particular pastor who that was his joy to do that, to pray for that. And I said it last night, I'll say it again, I miss it so much, because if there was a time, this man's prayers were so powerful and God's response was so powerful, praying for the offering, that I just, every week, I looked forward to it. It was exciting, because I just thought, if the rafters of the church are going to like just shake with the presence of God, and the angels are going to come down and say, what's the ruckus? It was during the offering. And it was such a cool thing, and I miss that. I thought, man, what a neat thing, and it's a shame for you guys. You just don't have that. So maybe we need to pray for that. Maybe God will bring somebody that would pray that way for our offering. But all that to say, we have offering boxes. If God is prompting you to give, there's your reminder. But do it with as giving to Him, and do it with a joyful heart, and that's how He tells us to give. And it's okay not to. If you're not there, that's fine, because He doesn't need the money and we don't either. I mean, it's an opportunity for us. We talked last week about being a living sacrifice, and there's ways that God provides opportunities to take action steps to say, I want to be that. I want to be that living sacrifice. I want to trust in God and not trust in other things. And so this is a way to do it. So if you want to give, you can give. There's a box there. There's a box there. Folks watching online, you can give. And that's on the website, myhopekokomo.org. There's a give button there on the menu. So all that to say, we're not bringing any of that up because we're not paying the electric bill. We are. God is providing above and beyond. And so I look forward, because I know because He's prompting people to give so generously, it's not just so there's bucks in the bank. It's because He's going to use that to bring a harvest here spiritually in some way. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for that. Do you guys know, I don't know if everybody knows this, but this field, this spiritual field here, what God has been doing for a while now here is tilling ground. And we're not even on the, I mean, we're just in the beginning of the season of what He's going to do here. And I know that. I mean, I just perceive that, and I hope you guys do too. There is a harvest coming, and it's going to be beautiful. And I'm excited for that. So let's pray for the offering. And if you want to jump up and run to a box, you can, but you don't have to. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you so much, God, that you own it all. It's already yours, Lord. Your word says a cattle on 1,000 hills, or the 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills, or whatever the technicality has got. It's all yours. We recognize that today, Lord. So thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we know that in your word you speak so many times about just getting us freed up from our trusting in money. And so, God, thank you for the opportunity to take an action step there and get freed up from that. Lord, thank you for the opportunity just to say thank you, Jesus, for providing for me and giving back a little bit to you today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give tithes and offerings as an expression of our trust in you, as an expression of wanting to be a living sacrifice and wanting to be dedicated to you and not stuff of this world, as a way of worship, God, a way that we can just say, Jesus, you are beautiful, and I'm so glad to be set apart for you today, and that you give us that opportunity, Lord. And God, I believe that in doing that, it's not just going to make Duke Energy happy because the bill's paid. It's going to bring joy to your people, Lord. You're going to help us to know you more as we trust you in every way, through the offering and through other things as well, Lord. So thank you. God, we pray that you would use what you prompt your people to give to help us, again, to know you more, but that those who don't know you yet, Lord, would come to know that Jesus is beautiful and Jesus is awesome, and that we can trust you and love you, and that what a friend we've got in you, Lord. We pray that other people would come to know you today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So there you have it. That's one of the first offering prayers in our 5 years of existence. So, it's about time. That's right. I thank you guys for setting me straight. So, well, the Lord's had me praying about it, but then when he started prompting you guys to say something to me, I was like, all right, I get it. All right. Well, let's pray for the preaching of the word, too. Lord Jesus, we know that your word is powerful and blessed. And we know that we're blessed to be able to hear it, God. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would speak your word today through me, that your people would be able to see you and hear you in your word today, Lord. And give us hearts, God, to receive whatever you have for us, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know that God provides for us. It's been a long journey for me as a Christian to understand that. There was times where, you know, you kind of do what you're told to do as a new believer, and people talk about tithes and offerings and all that, and you're like, all right, I'm supposed to do that, but you can kind of get away with just doing it a little and get, you know, sticking your toe in the water, and that's fine. That's fine. And it took me a long time, Kim and I, even as a journey together, learning to trust God with things. But just understanding that he's providing for us. He's providing everything we need. And maybe I'm still learning that in some ways. But along with learning that he provides what we need for living, he provides real life, which is even better than the finances and stuff. You know, he provides that spiritual presence as we abide in him, that he helps us to trust him, and he helps us to step out in faith and to obey him, and he gives us life. He gives us life each day, and he renews us. And I see in the word of God that as we put our hope in him and as we trust in him, that he just each day keeps renewing and renewing and renewing his people. And so this series of messages we've titled Renew, and this is our second week in this series. Last week we talked about God renew your church, and we said that in that what we meant was, yes, we need renewed each day, but we also need a renewed perspective. You know, we need our minds aligned with what he's doing already in his church, and we need to pray in alignment with what he's doing. And today we're going to talk about God renewing our ministry. God renew our ministry. Kim and I recently had a trip down to Arkansas. I love Arkansas. It's good to have family there. And it was cool. I really enjoyed... Well, it wasn't cool. It was 98 degrees with a heat index over 100, if you know Arkansas in the summer. But it cooled down after that, actually. It was really amazingly cool after that. But we got to hang out with family, and I got to officiate a wedding and got to actually share the gospel during that wedding, which I really appreciate that opportunity. But it was a wonderful time with family, and they just loved on us, and it was great. And just getting to have time with my wife, too, was beautiful. And so we really enjoyed that. But I did enjoy the driving part, too. I really like driving a lot. Like, I like driving from my house down the street to the recycle bins. I like driving from my house to... It's probably from my brother, because my brother was a gearhead, and he was into cars and stuff, and he was older than me, and I thought he was, like, the coolest person in the world when I was in elementary school, and he still is really cool. And he's still driving today. He drives a truck. But he was into motorcycles and cars, and so I just got this love of driving from my brother. Probably. But even across country, like driving to Arkansas or driving to Florida, I like to drive, and I feel sorry for my wife because I don't really consider whether she even wants to drive. The answer is no. You know, it's like, I don't want to drive. I'm sorry, babe. I need to repent. But driving to Arkansas, on the way there, maybe some on the way back, I noticed I was looking out at the fields, which I think are beautiful, just signs of life. And I saw in the fields turkeys, a lot of turkeys. Have you guys ever seen turkeys out in the field, wild turkeys? Yeah? We got a lot of them in Indiana. I know up by Rochester, there's quite a few. I had one fly over the car one day. Up there, you're not one of them. Yeah, you're not a turkey. Praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Have you kids seen turkeys? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, they're big, aren't they? They get big. Yeah, and they taste delicious, but that's enough. Anyway, I shouldn't say that. But we saw these turkeys, and if you know much about turkeys, like if I think back over my life, all the times I've seen turkeys, 99 times out of 100, when I ever see turkeys, they're either eating or like waddling to a place to eat again. So that's kind of what they do. Seen them fly like one time out of 100. So not very often, but they do have wings. I was reading, because I'm just a total study geek, reading about turkeys. You know, there's actually people who believe that turkeys can't fly, and that's not true. They can. Most turkeys sleep in trees, so they fly up into the trees for safety at night. That's where they sleep. They fly down for breakfast. And then they waddle, right? They waddle around, and then they find somewhere for lunch, and they eat, and then they waddle, and then they eat, and then they waddle, and that's just kind of what turkeys, what they do. And there's a lot of waddling, and there's a lot of eating in the life of a turkey. There's not much flying. They could. They've got wings. They just don't fly very much. Now, I was thinking about the Christian life, and thinking about in the Bible, in Isaiah, in chapter 40, in verse 31, this is a popular verse that you see on a lot of plaques and a lot of Christian homes. You won't see it this morning on the slide. But it says that, you know, when we hope in the Lord each day that he renews our strength, right? And that his people, that we mount up on wings like eagles. You guys know the verse, right? Have you seen that? Some of you have the plaque, maybe. I love that verse. I think it's a great verse. And one of the things I like about that verse is it says that as we hope in the Lord, we will mount up on wings like eagles, not waddle about like turkeys. And I think that's really cool because I'd rather be an eagle than a turkey. That'd be really great. But you know, there's times in the Christian life where I've probably been more of a turkey than I want to admit. Where my focus has kind of been like, I just want to be fed. I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and I'm going to get fed. I'm going to go to the Bible study. I'm going to waddle over there, and I'm going to get fed. I'm going to waddle over to the Christian concert. I'm going to get fed. And there's been a whole lot of waddling and a whole lot of eating and just not a lot of soaring on a wing like eagles. I think we're meant for more than waddling. I think we're meant for more than just feeding. I think we're meant to fly as believers. So today we're going to look at Romans 12. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Romans 12. And we're also going to look at Ephesians 4. And then at the end of the message, we're going to look at Mark a little bit as well. Because he's back. No, Mark chapter 10. It's good to have you back, Mark. Romans chapter 12. And then Ephesians chapter 4. And our message this morning, again, renew our ministry. Renew our ministry. And by that we mean a prayer, Lord, bring life to our serving. We're praying that in this message. God, bring life to our ministry, to our serving here. And renew our minds, God. Renew our thoughts with your word about ministry and about serving. As we were driving back from Arkansas, and since being back, I've also noticed, besides turkeys in the fields, there's a lot of farmers in the fields too. And they're out bringing in wheat. Do you guys know, is that spring wheat or summer wheat? I don't know. I have no clue. Anyway, they're bringing in wheat. Have you guys seen the farmers out harvesting the wheat, bringing it in? By my house they are, anyway, quite a bit. Well, I was reading. And one kernel of wheat produces a stalk that has three heads on it, three heads of wheat. And in each of those heads of wheat, there's about 15 to 35, usually more towards 30 to 35, kernels in each of those. So with a stalk of wheat, approximately, if it's a pretty good, healthy wheat stalk, it's going to have about 100 kernels of wheat in there. When that farmer harvests that and he takes those 100 kernels, if he takes those and replants those, if you do the math and gets about 100 kernels from each of those, from each of the stalks, then there's about 10,000 kernels that come out of it. If he takes those 10,000 kernels and replants those kernels, there's going to be about 1 million kernels that come out of that, all from that one little tiny kernel of wheat. One kernel. It seems pretty small. It is pretty insignificant. You guys ever just grabbed a kernel of wheat? Did you see The Chosen, the recent episode? They're walking along and they gather the wheat and they're just munching on it. It looked good. I like crunchy stuff. I'm thinking, man, I need to get out in the field and get some wheat and crunch on it like those guys did. They looked like they were really enjoying it. They were starving, yes. They were. I'm not. I am not starving. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I'll eat anything. That's another illustration. But yeah, they're chosen this last episode. They're munching on the wheat, and the Pharisees come along and jump all over and give them a hard time about it. But just one little. I'm thinking one kernel. You couldn't even tell what wheat tastes like from one. You know, I mean, it's so tiny and insignificant. But one kernel, if a farmer has it and he knows what to do with it, man, you can get a huge crop that comes out of that one kernel. God is like that. God is an awesome farmer, and he can take one person who feels kind of insignificant and small, and placed in his hands, when we say, God, I'm just entrusting myself to you, he can bring a harvest from that that we can't even imagine. I believe with all my heart that God has a plan for a really great harvest here. I believe that. And I think that each kernel that's in his hand, he can do something amazing with that. So we need to recognize that if we'll place ourselves in God's hands so that he can work out his plan for us, that he's going to do something great. And one of the ways we do that is in serving. In serving, which is how we fly. I'm going to go ahead and put this out here. By the end of this message, I'm hoping that God's going to speak to my heart and to your heart, and is going to motivate us to pray and to ask him, God, I want you to use me. I want to put myself in your hands, and I want to be used in the body of Christ. And I hope you'll pray that sincerely today. Romans 12. starting in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay, this is a starting point. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. God's telling us, when you are a living sacrifice, when you place yourself on the altar, when you say, God, I belong to you, I'm on the altar. When you make yourself in that position for his Holy Spirit to come down and consume, to use you, it leads to something in the body of Christ. It leads to something. We're going to see this in the Word of God today. It leads to humble service in the body. Jesus purchased you. How many people, do you know that Jesus loves you today? Do you know that he loves you so much that he purchased you out of sin and death with his blood? Do you know that? He purchased you with his life. That's how much he loves you. If Jesus purchased you with his life, it seems to me that it's only fitting to want to say, Lord, I thank you for loving me and thank you for buying me with your blood out of death and out of sin. I want to be yours. I want to give back. I want to serve you. That seems like a normal response to me. You know, when I think about that, if we're aware that Jesus, the Son of God, who is holy and almighty, that he loves us and that he saved us from separation from God forever that we deserved, if he did that with his blood, the least I can do is say, what would you like me to do today, Lord? What's your plan for me? How do you want me to serve you today? It, honestly, as I think about that, I think, you know, I think it would be next to impossible. It should be next to impossible for somebody to talk me out of serving Jesus. Considering what Jesus has done for me, there should be no way, no matter what somebody's argument is, even my own flesh, there should be nothing that can talk me out of serving Jesus, because he deserves that. Ephesians 6, verse 7, we don't have a slide for this, but the Bible says, serve wholeheartedly, as if serving the Lord and not people. Listen, Jesus saves us on purpose for a purpose. He saves us that he can give us life, but that life is given back as a living sacrifice to him, so that we can serve in the body of Christ. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, which means proclaiming the word of God, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. It's a nice list. It's not a complete list. It doesn't say, well, if you don't find yourself on that list, you're off the hook. There's probably about 1,000 other ways that we are gifted and called to serve. Jesus purchased your life with his blood. So out of love for Jesus, our response back is to serve in the body of Christ in love. In love. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep... Sounds, zeal. That's not a slow waddle. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Again, back to verse 3. Paul speaks of this grace we've been given. In Christ Jesus, in His church, we are all recipients. We are all people who have received of the grace of God. Has anybody else received God's grace? Every day. Every day. All believers have a measure of the grace of God, and that should motivate us to action, to respond back to Him. All of us have received grace and faith so that we can live a life of Christian action. Even if you're just a small little kernel, even if you're just a little seed, all believers, who's part of the body of Christ today? Anybody? Okay, if you've been redeemed, that's you. Part of the body of Christ. All believers are called to serve. We have different gifts, we have different functions, we serve in different ways, but we are all called to ministry. We're all called to service. And we all have opportunities to do that. Verse 6 says that all believers have gifts given to them by the grace of God. Again, we don't all have the same giftings. You don't have to do what somebody else does. Your opportunities may look different. Your serving may be different, but you still serve the same Lord Jesus who loves you. You still have that same love. You're still gifted by the Holy Spirit. This scripture passage is calling on us to be renewed in our minds as the church, to understand that God has gifted all of us in the body for the building up of the body. If you're part of the body, you have a part to play in serving. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought or more lowly than you ought. All of us are called with sober judgment to find our place in serving in the body of Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, starting in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Somewhat of a parallel passage to what we just saw. Here in Ephesians, Paul writes, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." To each one of us. Who's he talking to? All believers. Every church. Every time. Every culture. All believers. Each one of us, grace has been given. Verse 8. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, speaking of Jesus, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended, Christ who came to earth, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave apostles, he gave the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. What did he give them for? Sometimes the way that we live out being the church in America, we would think this passage is going to say he gave them to do everything. No. He gave the leaders to equip his people for works. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I have an obligation to you. And even more than that, I have an obligation to Christ to call you to serve. If I don't do that, if we don't all serve in the body of Christ, how is the body of Christ going to be built up? I'm not really great at this, so I need you to pray for me. This is an area that, at best, I'm mediocre. I need help in helping you and encouraging you to get into that place of serving where you need to serve in the body. Because we're not all serving, and if I was doing a better job, we would be. So I need you to help me and pray for me in that. God's given us all abilities, and as wonderful as all those giftings and unique, I love that God is creative. I think it's so cool that God likes weirdos, because he makes a lot of them like me. He's so creative. He's so amazing. It's God's plan that we're different. It's so beautiful that we have different talents and gifts and interests. And man, it's wonderful. I love the diversity in the body of Christ. But it's not just for creativity's sake. It's for a purpose. And it's not just to provide for us. And it's certainly not so that all our uniqueness and giftings can remain unused. It's so that we will all be plugged in as part of the body for his purposes, which is that he is working through us as we serve one another in the body, and he uses that to build up the body. And the little seed doesn't have to figure out what's going to happen when the farmer sticks him in the soil. You just need to get planted. We're each part of the building block of what God's doing here. Each of us, we have a part to play. Ephesians 2. I know what this maybe sounds like. Sometimes when I hear a message like this, I think, oh, we need to, this is a boot to the backside to get busy and do stuff. No, that is not at all what I'm saying. That's not at all. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says we're his handiwork. He's the one working, not us. That's not what I'm talking about. We're his handiwork for us to do good works. He's creating us and doing a work in us and giving life and energy, and he is feeding us, not that we would waddle, but that we would soar in service. That's where we find joy and meaning that we're supposed to have in the body of Christ. And he has prepared these works way before Here's Hope even existed, in advance for us to do. In 1 Peter 2, we don't have slides for this either, but in 1 Peter 2, the Bible says we are living stones. Living stones. I remember about 6 years ago as we were praying, I was praying with some other pastors about how God was guiding us in starting Here's Hope Church. And I remember one of my friends, a local pastor, who said, we were talking about just different aspects of church and ministry, and he said, James, keep in mind, it's not about programs. God works through those, but it's not about programs, and it's certainly not about property. It's people. The church is people. Building blocks are people. And if God's going to build the church, it's going to be through people. In 1 Peter 2, it says that we, all of us, that we are living stones being built up, a holy temple that God's building through his people, bringing people together. It says that we are a chosen people, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, that we're God's possession. It says that all of us, sometimes when God called me to be a pastor, I laughed. I did. Yeah. And I couldn't get her to stop laughing. No. Because I knew who I was before. You know, I thought, man, the brokenness and darkness that I chose to live in. But for each one of us, you know what? God has called us out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son He loves, into His wonderful light. And if He can do that, He can do anything through you. No matter who you are, no matter what your life has been, no matter what your life is today, He can use you. He can do something wonderful and beautiful through you. Verse 13. Here's what He's doing. Remember, it's Him. He's the one who's doing, okay, not us. Even as we serve each other in love, it's Him doing the work. Here's what He's doing. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. If you got distracted, let's lay hold of that because this is awesome. And so we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Isn't that awesome? That's what He's doing. He's making us mature. He's bringing us into a fullness of faith. You know what? One of the great commands that God gives us in the Bible, He says, go and make disciples. And sometimes we think that that means evangelism, and that's one little part of that. But a lot of that, go and make disciples, He's saying, listen, if you're going to go and make disciples, you got to be disciples, right? I mean, you got to know what He's commanded, and you got to obey it, and you got to believe it. You got to be a disciple if you're going to make disciples. You got to be a kernel of wheat if you're going to make a wheat stalk. This is the essence of discipleship. Having a fullness of Christ. And part of discipleship is serving in the body. So you can be fed and waddle to the next feeding. And be fed and waddle to the next feeding. And praise God for the spiritual food. But that's not all He's feeding us for. It's so that we would come to this fullness in Christ. And that doesn't happen unless we serve. It just doesn't. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. If there is ever a time in my lifetime when the community I live in needs a mature church that is on fire with the Holy Spirit and is living out authentic discipleship, it's now. There's a lot of cunning and craftiness out there and deceitful scheming. Here's God's plan. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As all of us do our work. Not the pastor, not Brad or Mark or Chrissy, all of us. The building up of the body happens when all the seeds are in the soil. I believe God's not done with His church yet. I've been praying for and believe. Anybody else ever pray for revival? You want to just see the Holy Spirit poured out and multitudes come to Christ and His church just soaring on wings like eagles? You guys ever pray for that? You know, every time that's ever happened, and it's happened many times, and every time that ever happens, it never happens apart from prayer. It always happens. Always happens in response to prayer, and it only happens in a time of darkness when God's people are desperate for Him. I think what we see in this culture and the times we're living in are motivating God's people to pray. And I have no reason to believe that I believe there's revival coming for His church. I believe that. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't get to decide that. At the very least, I think there's a great harvest coming still. And I think, I'll just make it specific. I think God's plan for Here's Hope Church is miraculous because He is a miracle-working God. But we are seeds that have free will. We're little kernels of wheat that are in the seed packet that if we want to, He'll let us say, I'm not getting in the dirt. It's safer in the packet. I'm just going to stay there. For the harvest to happen that He wants to happen, all the seeds got to come out of the packet. All the seeds got to be in the soil. All the seeds need planted. And there's only one way that really happens, and that's surrender. So if you've heard in the message today, I need to get busy and do work, please, that's not what I'm saying. See, I'm a very human sometimes. There's a lot of times where, God calls me, according to Romans 12, to be a living sacrifice, but I've got a lot of justifications why that's not going to happen today that makes sense to me. I've got my self-will and my wonky justifications. The only way for me to get out of that seed packet and let God plant me, and when a seed is planted, the seed dies, right? And then the growth comes. And so I fight against that. The only way for a willful, opinionated person like me to really be planted how God wants to plant me and for a harvest to come for that is I have to die to self. I've got to just each day put myself on the altar, and that's just prayer. That's just saying, God, I'm in Your hands today. I'm gonna let You take me out of this packet of safety, this seed package of safety and self, and You do what You want to do. Let's just torch my agenda, and let's just do what You want to do. And if You will do that, He'll allow you to operate in His will instead of your will, in His power instead of your power, in His plan instead of your plan. I'll almost close with this. I believe it's Tony Evans that I heard give this illustration. There was a pastor a long time ago in Dallas named Dr. Ernest Estell. He was dying of cancer, and he was at a conference and was able to speak at that conference, and he said, a long time ago, I realized that there's nothing all that significant about Ernest Estell. There's nothing all that significant or wonderful about me by myself. And he said, when I realized that, I made a commitment to something and someone much more powerful and meaningful and greater than I am. He said, I decided to entrust myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, to commit myself to Him and His church. A lot of times, I think pastors, including me, make a mistake of calling people to a commitment to Christ, but the commitment is to Christ the head, but also to church the body. It's a commitment to be part of the body of Christ. That's part of the decision. And Dr. Estelle said, as I face death, because he had a short time to live as he was speaking at the conference, he said, as I face death now, I understand that that's the most worthwhile decision of my life. That I made a commitment to Christ and I made a commitment to his church. So I hope this is your prayer today. God, renew our ministry. Renew our service. Renew our thinking about what it means to be part of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans and Ephesians that we looked at today, was a really good example of serving, of just setting aside everything in his life and just hitting the road and doing what God wanted him to do and being planted somewhere for years to invest in the church and serving. Jesus is an even better example. In Mark 10, verse 42, the Bible says, Jesus called them together and he said, speaking to his disciples, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So I'm just going to tell you straight up, because I don't tell you very often, because I'm not a perfect pastor. There are a multitude of ways. Not just a multitude of ways that somebody can serve here. There's a multitude of ways that you can serve as part of Here's Hope Church, as part of the body of Christ here. Guaranteed. If we sit down and pray about it and talk about it, we'll come up with a list. There is a multitude of ways for you to serve here, no matter who you are. And I think if our Lord and Master came as a servant, we can all serve in some way. It doesn't have to be a 4-year commitment. It's not the Marine Corps or the Navy. It can be for a couple weeks. It can be baby steps. I think baby steps are good. You know, I mentioned earlier we talked about giving and offering and tithing. I spent years of baby steps with tithing. It's okay to have baby steps. It's okay to have baby steps with serving. We can make it look like a half hour a week, that's fine. That's a start. For us to become more like Jesus, we got to serve. No other way around it. If we're going to become mature in Christ, you have to serve. There's no other way. I've had a lot of really supernatural, miraculous, wondrous moments as a believer. I have. I've been part of a group of people that have laid hands on somebody who had trouble walking and they were healed. And they were going up and down flights of steps and dancing within minutes. I've seen it. You know, I've shared the gospel with somebody and seen joy overcome them as the weight of sin was lifted and they trusted in Jesus. I've seen so many wondrous things in the Christian life. And I've had aha moments with the Lord where going from despair to just hope that just overwhelms that I can't explain. A lot of the most beautiful moments I have had in the Christian life have been where there was an opportunity to serve and I just said, yeah, I'll do it. Somebody needs to make coffee? Okay, I can do that. Somebody needs to fold bulletins? Okay. Somebody needs to run a meal over to somebody's house, I can do that. What I have found over and over again in those little tiny, those things that to me seem just like a little seed that don't seem very significant, over and over again, not just outcomes for other people, but God has shown up and blessed me, that I've had a sense of his presence in just a small act of saying, yes, I can serve. And God has used those to mature me more than almost anything else. I'm going to give you an action step. I'm going to close in prayer and the worship team can come back up. But I'm going to give you an action step today. So in your bulletins, there's a comment card. And in your on your comment card today, we're going to do a whole new purpose for your comment card. Connection card. Sorry. Yeah, connection card. Thank you. You've just volunteered to be our connections pastor. Here's what we're going to do with a connection card. And I want you to do this, if you can do this for the Lord. Please don't do it because I'm telling you to. But if He's telling you to, then don't let anything stop you. I want you to write your name and write your phone number and write, "I can serve." And what will happen is, this coming week, I'm going to follow up with you. I'm going to call and we'll just set a time to talk. And I promise you a baby step to find some small way in the body of Christ for you to serve. And for folks online, you're not off the hook because you can comment on Facebook. So if God is speaking to you today, I want you to comment in the comments there your name and your phone number and say, "I can serve," and I'm going to call you this week. If you don't have a bulletin, you're not off the hook. There's comic or connection cards in your pew. Grab a connection card. We'll give you a minute. Drop those in the offering box before you leave, or now, sometime. Put that in the offering box. Yeah. And hold me accountable to help you with this. Hold me accountable to give you opportunities. Because one of my weaknesses is to try to do too much. To wear all the hats. And that needs to stop. So. Amen. So hold me accountable. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit prompting us through your word, not just to get busy, but to get surrendered. That passage in Romans starts with therefore. That we start with the fact that you have redeemed us. That you are a God who has given us abundant mercy and grace and life and gifts, that you've given us yourself. What a beautiful beginning point. And Lord, thank you that in giving us yourself and giving us your Holy Spirit, that you guide us and prompt us and equip us for you to work through us and for us to love on other people. That really, when it comes down to it, when we talk about serving, Lord Jesus, that we know that we're talking about love. Not busyness, not activity, but just love. In action. That love's not just about words. It's more than that. Your love for us wasn't just words, it was more. And that our love for each other and our love for you is not just words, and it's not just getting fed and waddling. It's more than that. That we're recipients of life and grace, so that we can soar with wings on your love. And that you carry us along and you give us these opportunities, these tangible opportunities to trust you, to put ourselves at your disposal and just to be in surrender. And that when we do that, we get to serve. When we're surrendered, that we get to know this joy of you doing things that we don't even see or understand through your people. But we know that there's a harvest coming when we do that. So Lord, give us the faith that you can use a little seed like me. Give us the courage, Lord, to get out of the packet. Lord, we pray that you would do this for your glory, for the joy of your people. But Lord, we pray that you would, as you build up the body, and as we all serve you together, Lord, we pray that it would be a witness to a watching world. That somehow through that, Lord, you would draw people to yourself, you would draw people to salvation, and that you would graft them in as part of your body as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for promise.